Hello, and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series entitled Clean Your Office Again. Really. I'm Jill Pankos, Vice President and Managing Partner of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, your graduate of our two-day program how to work less, produce more, and still get the job done in a sensible school week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our alumni in the on-the-job implementation of the two-day program. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. This podcast series is designed to support and encourage you in those make-or-break moments so that you thrive as an administrative team. The purpose of today's session is to benchmark where you are in the process of cleaning your office and turning it into a conference room, and then to outline the further steps needed to finish the job. If you're listening to this podcast, you've probably already made some significant progress cleaning your office. However, what I know from coaching many of you personally, as well as viewing lots of before and after photos, is that sometimes it can take folks a good 3 to 6 months to get the job done to TBC standard, to get it to a level of impeccability whereby we say it makes sense to move forward with your implementation. The purpose of completing step one, to transform your office into an impeccable conference room, is so that you can then implement the rest of the program and get yourself down to a 40-hour work week while quadrupling your time out in classrooms. But before we start benchmarking where you are in the cleaning process and outlining next steps, let's review some vocabulary so that once again we're all on the same page. Our definition of an office is it's that place you go into every day and your productivity drops by 80%. We know immediately what we're dealing with, technician or manager, just by the look of your office. Our goal for you is simple. As a manager whose job it is to talk, we want nothing in your office, nothing to distract you from the work of coaching, training, and developing your people. And we want you to be able to get your office work done in 20 to 45 minutes a day. So step one in producing a breakthrough in your time and results is clean your office. Now, when I say clean, I don't just mean tidy it up. I mean clean it out, top to bottom. Get rid of everything that does not belong in the office of a manager. Every piece of paper, every file folder, all the equipment, all the furniture, and give it to your technicians. You want to have what we call an intentionally created space. An intentionally created space is a space designed to facilitate one activity and one activity only, and the standard in that space is impeccability. Now, by impeccable, I mean pristine, empty, flawless, having only what you need to perform the task at hand and nothing else. Like Malachi's description in the two-day of an operating theater right before the surgeons walk in to perform an operation. Or any kind of sporting arena right before a game is played. Now, since you're a manager, your office should have the look and feel of a conference room because that's what's supposed to go on in there, high-impact speaking and listening. So what I want you to have is a conference table, some conference chairs, a phone, soft music is okay, a plant, as long as it's living. When your office is impeccable, it frees up your energy and enthusiasm and your vision returns. Your productivity begins to rise because you can actually see what needs to happen to impact the future of your organization. But when your office is cluttered with the past, all you can work on is the past. The past is always perpetuated by something. If you want to cause a breakthrough in results, you need to start from nothing. As a podcast series listener, I assume you're on board for this and you've probably already made some real and significant headway with your office. Based on my experience coaching clients at this point, I assume your office is probably in one of the following three places. So I'll lay them out as scenarios here. Scenario number one, you have cleaned up, cleared out, and created a conference room for yourself. It's pristine, empty, quiet. You now operate at a big, expansive conference table. There's no paper anywhere. All the piles have been removed. Your laptop sits at one end of your conference table. You've got a nice, comfortable conference chair at the head of the table for yourself. For everyone else, you have some comfortable, but not too comfortable chairs around the table. The space is zen-like, and you love it. Except for one or two last remaining items that you know you now need to let go of, but you're just not sure how to move them out. So we're going to address this circumstance today with the intention of getting your office to completion in the next, say, 4 to 6 weeks. And if you're not in this place yet, you still want to tune into this bit of coaching here because you will be here soon. And what I say to this group today will apply to you later. Then we have my scenario number two, listeners. In scenario number two, you've cleaned up, you've emptied out, and now you have what I call a very clean, technical office. It's impeccable, except you still have the same technical office you had before, just empty. You're what I call a technician in a clean office. We're going to discuss the residual problem you've created for yourself and how to address this so that you quickly get to the place where you're operating in an actual conference room. No matter where you are in the cleaning process, you're likely to know a two-day grad in the same predicament. And after listening today, you're going to have some advice to offer them that will actually make a real difference to their progress. And finally, there's my scenario number three, listeners. You've spent hours, days, weeks, cleaning, clearing, moving, but you still have one bookcase left filled with books that you can't bring yourself to let go of. You still have one bank of file cabinets filled with data you're convinced you need to have at your fingertips. You still have a desk. You've just moved it to the middle of the room and put six chairs around it so it looks like a conference table. But everyone who conferences with you there ends up with bruised knees. You still have your credenza, which now serves as your one flat surface where you've organized all your technical work into neat little piles. And finally, for every tchotchke you've removed, you've added a silk plant. The place is teeming with silk plants. You're not working in a conference room. You're working in an arboretum. Now, here's the good news. You've come a long way, baby. And here's the rest of the news. There's way more west to go. I'm definitely going to address scenario number three today, both the psychology of it and the steps you need to take immediately if you're ever to progress with this program. And as for those of you described in scenarios one and two, again, stay tuned here because you're the ones who need to help these scenario three folks successfully cross the finish line. You're in this together. The better shape your colleagues are in, the easier everyone's interactions become across the board and down the line. So I'm going to start by addressing scenario number one. In scenario number one, you've cleaned up, you've cleared out, and you have created a conference room for yourself. It's pristine. It's empty. It's quiet. It's zen-like. You've got your conference table in place. There's no paper anywhere. Soothing music plays in the background. Except you've got these last one or two nagging items that you know you still need to let go of. You're just not sure how to move them out. So for instance, there's that one last built-in bookshelf that you're not quite sure how to get rid of, or a printer that you haven't moved yet, or a side console table. You're not resistant to letting go of these final items. You're just not sure how to do it. I see pictures of offices like this all the time, and I've worked in offices that we've gotten to this point. And I can tell you what's left to do is actually very simple. It's just going to take more than you to get it done, which is why you haven't done it yet. To get an office like this to completion requires that you make some requests of others to support you in this effort. Now, what do I mean by make some requests? Let's go back to the 2-day here. You may now need to ask your custodian to remove the built-in bookshelf appropriately so that you don't leave any unrepairable divots in the wall. Once the shelf has been removed and the holes patched, you probably then also need to ask maintenance to come paint that wall. It's all doable. It's just going to take more than you. It's going to require requests of others to support you. You need to be willing to ask for the help and then step aside and let other people do for you what they're good at doing. Your job is to manage them through the process. If nobody else in your building has a need for a side console table, you may have to send a request to central office to come take the table away and put it in storage, or take it home. That printer that needs to go, make a request of your front office staff to find a place for it out front. And if they haven't cleaned up yet, this is the perfect entree into that conversation. You then may have to make a follow-up request of your tech person to get the printer connected properly to your laptop. Now, I understand because of the pace at which requests like this move through a district, it may take another 4 to 6 to 8 weeks to get these items ticked off your list. But that's why you put in your requests for help now, so that it's done 8 weeks from now. Unless you're super handy with a drill and putty, you're not going to get this done alone. Your ability to finish turning your office into an impeccable conference room hinges on your ability to make requests, which is a skill you should be practicing anyway, so why not practice as I'm describing? Now here's the second part of scenario number one. Now that your office is in this advanced stage, chances are it's feeling just a little cold in there, and I don't mean like the temperature outside. And visitors to your office keep pointing this out to you, right? Which now has you doubly self-conscious, one, because everyone thinks you're leaving, and two, because you think they think you're cold. Here's the solution to the sudden chill in your office. Make a request of your building's art or design teacher to come look at your office with you. You're not an interior designer. You're probably no good at interior design. And you don't have time to get good at interior design. I don't want you to get good at interior design. What I want you to do is learn how to make requests of people who are good at it. So call your art teacher in, or a parent volunteer who has some skill in this area. Tell him or her that you want to keep your office empty, but you want it to feel warmer. Impeccable means impeccable, but it doesn't have to mean cold. So, what color paint would they recommend you put on the walls? Or what do they recommend on the floor? Do you need an area rug over the tile? Or should you rip up the old carpet altogether and start again? What kind of inexpensive freestanding lamps could you bring in so that you don't have to run the overhead fluorescents all day? What kind of inexpensive window treatment could you pick up from Target or Walmart to cut down on the heat and the glare? The point is this: impeccable means impeccable. Finish the job now. But impeccable does not have to mean cold. You could be impeccable and warm. And warm doesn't have to be expensive. But get another set of eyes on it now. You're good, but you're still only one human being, so ask for the help you need. And don't listen to the Monday morning quarterbacks who keep passing by your office offering opinions you never asked for in the first place. Make some requests of actual experts who know something about this. You happen to have quite a few right around you. You're very close to winning this race. Now just cross the finish line. All right, let's move on to my scenario number two, folks. In scenario number two, you've cleaned up, you've emptied out, it's quieted down quite a bit in there. But you still have all the same technical office furniture that you had before. You still have a large desk. Your credenza still occupies an entire wall. A bookshelf lines the other side of the room. It's just that it's all empty. Empty furniture everywhere in your office. And then you have a small, round what I call bistro table that really truly only seats three comfortably, but you've claimed this as your conference table. You're now what we call a technician in a clean office. This is not what Malachi meant by clean your office and turn it into a conference room. And by doing this way, you've created some residual problems for yourself that you may not be aware of. Starting with problem number one, I know the empty office furniture isn't a distraction to you, but it's a huge distraction for everyone else. Your empty office has become the point of attention for everyone who sits across the bistro table from you. So the whole scene leaves people wondering, why is his office empty like this? Why does he spend his days in a room full of empty office furniture? Your office now has the look, the feel of a used car salesman who shares his office with eight other used car salesmen. They just sequester customers in there for the difficult close. Here's the second problem. If you have office furniture in your office, eventually you're going to put stuff back on it, because a room full of empty office furniture just looks weird. The space isn't balanced. The proportions are all wrong. Trust me, you'll keep it like this maybe 3 months before you start moving crap right back in. The universe abhors a vacuum. When you have a place to put stuff, eventually stuff will find its way there. We want to eliminate this possibility altogether. And then problem number three, your bistro table that you occasionally seat four around a conference at, here's a clue. Nobody likes it. They're just too polite to say anything. Bistro table, good for drinks and appetizers and you working by yourself, not good for serious conferencing around. It's too tight. So here are three possible solutions to the problem of the technician in a clean office. We'll start with the quick and dirty solution number one. Let go of your office completely and give it to someone who really needs a technical office, like your secretary. Then move yourself into the conference room next door. The benefits to doing this are many. You don't have to clean another thing. You don't have to order any new furniture or spend any money. You're still close to where all the action is happening, but right off the bat, you'll be getting out into classrooms more because there really will be nothing to do in your office. So if your ultimate goal is to get into classrooms 2 days a week, this is the solution for you. Let go of your technical office completely and go do the instructional leadership work you've been hired to do. This is your job. Now, here's option number two for the technician in a clean office. You might like this better. Split your office in half. Make a request of maintenance to build a wall right down the center of your office. Give the technically furnished side to your secretary, and you take the other half with nothing in it. Move a conference table in on your side, get some phone and internet wiring installed, and call it a day. The benefits of this are really threefold. Your secretary now has an appropriate space to work in. You spend a very minimal amount of time and money to get your new conference room up and running. And the two of you are right next door to each other, which facilitates communication between you both all day long. Your secretary is now really your gatekeeper. Anyone who wants to see you must get past her. And again, with nothing to do in your office, you'll be headed out to classrooms sooner rather than later. It's not as quick a solution as option one, and it's a little bit dirtier in the short term, but it works. And then there's what I call option number three. This is my final suggestion to the technician in a clean office. Now, this option requires that you be much more creative in your thinking, and it's a bit more labor intensive, but if you ever wanted a reason to never be in your office, this is it. Give your technical office to someone who really needs it. And for those of you who complain you have no room, you have no conference room to set up shop in, go find a large storage closet somewhere in the building. Gut it completely. Have the walls painted and the floor cleaned. And then have maintenance build you a long table that extends out from the short side of the room and runs parallel to the long sides of the room. kind of like a built-in ironing board, but a little bit wider and large enough to seat six around. And that's your new office. The benefits of this are tremendous. You'll hardly ever want to be in there. So you'll be out in classrooms a whole lot more than you bargained for. The last client I had who did this jumped to 3 coaching days a week very quickly. On your office days, nobody will know where to find you, so you won't be interrupted unless you truly have an appointment. Otherwise, you'll be getting a lot of office work done. And finally, there's no room to put anything in there, so no worries about filling the place back up again. Your office becomes a constant visual reminder of what your work really is and where you should be doing it, out in the building where the action is happening. So there you have it, my top 3 road-tested suggestions for the technician in a clean office. Now finally, let's address scenario number 3. I affectionately call scenario number 3 the "you've come a long way, baby, and there's still a lot more west to go" scenario. Now, for those of you in this place, first, I want to acknowledge you for all you've accomplished thus far, all the work you've put into cleaning your office. Good job, really. I know it feels like a lot. At the same time, though, I am going to lay out a no-holds-bar beeline to completion here so you can move forward with your TBC implementation knowing that you've done the appropriate and necessary amount of groundwork to do so responsibly. So here we go. Scenario number 3 typically looks like this. You've spent hours, days, weeks cleaning, clearing, shredding, boxing up your office. But for reasons you can well justify, you still have an array of technical items in there, including a bookcase chock full of the latest and greatest educational publications because, quote, "there's really nowhere else to put them, and I give them out to my staff all the time," end quote. You still have a large lateral file cabinet in there because, quote, "there's some serious data I really must have at my fingertips," end quote. And since you've yet to invest in a decent conference table for yourself, you've moved your oversized desk to the middle of the room, so it looks like you have a conference table, but anyone who ever conferences with you there ends up with bruised knees. Meanwhile, your PC resides on its own computer desk in the corner because, quote, "I just couldn't do my job without it," end quote. And finally, you've replaced your tchotchkes with a silk plant collection that rivals the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens because, quote, "Malachi said it was okay to have plants, right?" When I ask these clients why they're holding on to all this technical mumbo-jumbo, which they know full well has no place in a conference room, you know what they tell me? "Well, I heard Malachi all the way through the first time. I understand managers get paid to talk and the whole conference room thing. And though I have people that I manage, part of my job really is technical. So I need to have these things around me." If this sounds like you talking to you, I've got some questions for you that require some serious thought before we proceed any further. And I want you to answer them truthfully for yourself before you make another move. Question number 1. With all this cleaning you've done to date, how many hours a week are you still working? If you answer more than 50, I have a follow-up question. Would you be interested in chopping off another 10 hours in the next 2 weeks? If your answer is yes, then continue listening. Question number 2, how many times a week do you actually hand an employee a book from your shelf and tell them to read it? Really, I want you to think this one through. If you answer less than once a day, you don't need a bookshelf and the volumes contained therein to do your job. The bookshelf and books, they need to go. We'll talk about how and where in a bit. Question number 3, regarding the file cabinet, how many times a week do you actually reach for the data in there? Once a week or less? If so, the file cabinet needs to find a new home. Question number 4. Do you really want your office to earn a reputation as the place people come to get trained and developed by you? and end up leaving black and blue? In other words, do you really want to make it physically uncomfortable for people to be conferencing in your space? If you answer no to this question, order a new conference table for yourself pronto. And question number 5, how do you feel about dust? Have any allergies we should know about? What about your staff? Does your custodial crew even notice cobweb accumulation in high places? I'm telling you, these are all good questions to consider when you think about replacing one set of tchotchkes for another. The point is this. If you have technical duties and manage teams of people, you don't need everything you're still holding on to in your office to do your job. The remainder of it now needs to go. The books on the bookshelf make no difference to the quality of coaching conversations you have with your staff. Most of them are not even reading them, and you know this. They're just a visual distraction designed to make your space look scholarly, but they make very little difference to the quality of scholarship coming out of your office. Same goes for the file cabinet. You can get your work done most days without the data at your fingertips. And on those few occasions when you need the data, your secretary will have no problem locating it for you, especially if she's the one who filed it in the first place. As for your workspace, stop messing around. Invest in the tools you need to do your job: a sufficient-sized conference table, a laptop, some decent wiring for your phone and internet lines, and the appropriate number of chairs. And finally, stop acquiring silk plants to fill the void. Malachi said, a plant. A plant, as long as it's living. There are other ways to warm up a room besides plants. You're just giving yourself another thing to dust. Is this really how you want to spend your days? As for any office paraphernalia I have failed to mention, hopefully by now you get the point. Wherever you're attached to things, you will suffer, and in your case, suffering looks like 50-plus hour work weeks. Turn your office into a bona fide conference room, and you will easily chop another 10 hours off that statistic. Once again, you can do this piecemeal, cleaning one area of your office at a time, until finally 6 months from now you're done. Or you can do the following and be done in 4 hours. 1. Schedule a Saturday 2 weeks out from today to finish cleaning your office. 2. Plan to start at 9 a.m. and be done by 1. Your energy and focus are generally higher in the morning, and really this is all the time it should take at this point to get it done. 3. Put together a team of 4 to 6 professional colleagues to work on this with you. Again, you'll need the extra hands and feet to get it done in 4 hours. And of course, it's always easier to throw away someone else's junk rather than your own. 4, promise to take the team out to lunch afterwards. 5, come equipped with the tools you need to get the job done, including a truck or minivan, at least 5 trash bins, a box of 30-gallon trash bags, a shredder, some file boxes, request and promise forms and a few accountability logs, sticky notes, power tools, and putty. Once you're all assembled and ready to get down to business, divvy up your helpers, assigning them to those areas in need of attention. When I lead a cleanup day like this, I organize my people around the room as follows. I put 2 people on the file cabinet. If you want to see a file cabinet emptied quickly, put 2 people on it who have some familiarity with what's in there, who know what doesn't need to be in there, and who aren't you. They have no attachments, no inhibitions to throwing things away. Then give them a large trash can, a shredder, and some file boxes, and let them go at it with minimal interference from you. This is not another area where you need to be in control. Let go of this project to others. In my experience, they will do just fine without you. Okay, then you need 2 people to move furniture and equipment out. Again, make sure they have what they need: a pole dolly, some mover's blankets, maybe a drill, strong knees, and a smile. A couple of middle-aged men should do quite well here. You put 1 person on the bookcase. Give them a block of Post-it notes and 5 to 8 boxes. Their job is to empty the bookshelf, put putting all the books in boxes and dividing them up by the following criteria: books to go home with you, or books to go in a professional library somewhere else in the building. When the bookshelf is finally empty, your furniture movers move it out of your office into a temporary holding zone. This gives you another couple of days to consider where else it could go and be of use. You want two people on you. One person to work you through the remaining piles, help you design requests, and move the paper on. The other person to keep you calm, focused, and level-headed while all this is going on around you. I call this second helper your consigliere, you know, like Silvio Dante was to Tony Soprano or Robert Duvall to Al Pacino. Their job is to help you manage your mood while all is swirling around you. Remember, what do a roller coaster and your mind have in common? They're both designed to make you scream. Your consigliere's job is to keep that from happening. And then finally, I always assign one person to the tchotchkes. This, in my experience, is the simplest and fastest part of the process. This person's job is to cover every square foot of your office, placing all your personal belongings in boxes and putting them out in the trunk of your car. All the plants, all the pictures, all the degrees, they are all going. And then you can spend your next Saturday building a shrine to yourself at home, where it's completely appropriate to do so. Another piece of advice for this helper: scour every drawer, every cabinet, every shelf. Find the bundles of erasers, paper clips, post-it notes, pencils, pens, thumbtacks buried in that office that could be put to better use in classrooms or thrown away altogether, and get them out of that office. If you follow this process like I've just outlined, I promise you, you'll be done in 4 hours. And you'll have the zen-like conference room you always needed but never knew you wanted until now. And when you walk in Monday morning, life at work will never be the same. You'll chop 10 hours off your work week in a heartbeat just from doing this. So let's recap. Your job as a manager is to talk, and the perfect space to do that kind of work in is an impeccable conference room. When you clean your office and turn it into a conference room, you'll easily chop 10 hours off your work week. Chances are your office is in probably one of three places by now. You either have 1, a zen-like conference room in need of a simple exit strategy for some last remaining items, and perhaps a little warming up. Your tool for making this happen is requests. There are other people you know who can help you do this quickly and cheaply. You now need to stop going it alone and ask for their support, which is what you need to do around many aspects of running your organization, so this is the perfect beginning. 2, you've set yourself up as a technician in a clean office. If this is you, I recommend one of the following 3 moves: let go of your office completely and take up residence in the conference room next door, or split your office in half, keeping the empty half as your conference room and giving the technical side to your secretary, or renovate a closet somewhere in the building and turn it into the conference room of your dreams. Quiet, empty, zen-like. Those clients of mine who've done this have never regretted it. And 3, for those of you who are just plain sick and tired of justifying the inevitable, schedule a date and finish the work. You now need to bring every bit of learning you got out of the 2-day to this project before you go any further with your TBC implementation. You need to let go of your attachments to what you think your job is and get clear about the results you're being held accountable to produce, which have nothing to do with what's in your office. You need to make requests of people for support. You need to set a by when and keep your word about it. You need to gather the appropriate tools, and then you need to move into action and finish the job like I've outlined. Otherwise, you'll end up in a holding pattern, never quite getting into classrooms enough, still leaving at 6 o'clock every night, and never realizing the possibility of what your work could be both for you and everyone else you serve, your staff, your students, and your family. I hope this has been a productive conversation for you and has given you the impetus you needed to finish step 1. Clean your office. Again. Really. Thank you for listening and for the remarkable job you continue to do every day. I look forward to joining you again next month. Goodbye for now.